Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on,
suit on,
looking like a dapper dog,
giving a microphone,
dress
like a million bucks,
diamond things in his cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody out there listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey got a radio show. I say it every day because God been good to me. God has done some things in my life that's been truly been just amazing. And really amazing ain't even really the word. They don't really have a word for what he's done for me. I'm just out of superlatives. That's why I say it every day. Steve Harvey got a radio show because God is in the blessing business. Yeah, he is. God can help you turn your life around. Did you hear me? God can help you turn your life around. Whatever you're going through, God has an answer for it. See, but it's the going through that gets us, though, ain't it? Because I was having a moment yesterday, and I sat my wife down. I said, "Baby, I just need to talk to you. I'm going through a little bit right now. I just wanted to share, which I'm a little down right now." And my wife reminded me. She just reminded me. See, this is what Man, that's what a good mate does. A good mate reminds you just of things that sometimes you forget when you get off track. Because, you know, I consider myself a motivational type person. I try to listen to people and then give them something I've learned along the way on this journey I've been on. I try to give a person a takeaway. But even being that person, sometimes I get off track myself. I get a little low sometimes. You know, I get a little down. Sometimes I forget some of the stuff I say. It ain't that I forget it. I guess I just get caught up in the grind of doing it. And sometimes I get a little off course and I forget some of the things. And my wife or a mate can be good for you to remind you. And she just said, "Steve, God got us." She said, "Have you ever noticed that every time you get in a spot?" And she say, and I know how you must feel because you out here working. And you keep turning around and old stuff keep popping up and you get a call from your accountant and hear this done went wrong and that done went, you steady trying to fix it. But you steady going, "Wow, man, what is this?" She say, "But you ever notice he always, no matter what, provide a way. And he ain't ever too late." Oh, you might be going, the deadline is approaching. The deadline can come and pass, but then they have a grace period for you. And then sometimes, man, it's just you go down there after the grace period and they take the payment anyway and you're good anyway. But see, ain't that God bringing you through it? It may not be when you want it, but he right on time. Just before you get put out, just before they turn, maybe they cut the lights off, but you get it back on just before company come. or just before the weekend get here. See, he always comes through for you. And she had to remind me of that. What you're going through is necessary. Man, stop. I don't want no more of this. Don't none of us want no more. Look, circumstance and hardships and pitfalls are always untimely. They ain't ever. It ain't ever a good time for stuff to go wrong. When is that? It's how you look at it. If you keep the law of attraction in play, if you keep believing that that he gonna see you through this, just like he do when you don't believe it. That's what the cold part is, though, ain't it? Ain't God brought you through even when you didn't really have the faith to say he was gonna bring you through? But because of grace and mercy, he brought you through anyway. But because you forgot to thank him, or you didn't pay attention through the come through, you just was telling people, oh, man, if you'd have seen me, it was so jacked up. Man, I was so turned up. I ain't know what I was going to do. I almost got put out. I was going to see, key word, almost. You forgot that part right there. And then it looked like I won, man. And it seemed like every month I go through this same thing. And then somebody ought to just say, did you pay it? Yeah, I paid it. Did you get put out? No, I'm cool. See, you need somebody on your shoulder to say that to you. And then you need somebody on to come right behind him and go, man, ain't God good? Really, man, that's how this works. See, you keep getting in situations, but he keep getting you out. Now, if you jump, look, listen to me. Hold on. Let's say you in a frying pan in the skillet and the oil is up and you in there frying and you uncomfortable being fried. God somehow, or let's just say you managed to get out of the hot grease in the frying pan and you standing there next to the skillet, looking at the fire, continue to heat the grease. You get out and then for some unexplainable reason, you dives right on back in there. Ain't that how we usually do it? I'm just asking you. God get you away from the man you've been asking to get away from. Then you go right back over there and start seeing him again. God get you away from the woman that you need to get away from that's finna mess up your life. You go right back over there and start seeing her again. God get you out the gang situation, move you across town. You go right back over there and start hanging out. God, you mess around it. God, through a blessing, gets you incarcerated so you can pull you out the drug scene. Because you're going to get clean in jail for the most part. Pulls you out the gang scene so you could be away from that neighborhood. Then as soon as you get out of jail, you go right back over there to the drug scene. And you go right back over there to them same fools that got your head twisted up and got you locked up in the first place. It's amazing how many times God get us out the fire and we walks right back in there. Ain't it amazing? I mean, really, man, see, this how I break life down for me so I don't get over here stuck on stupid with myself and then get to doing something ignorant like blaming God. When really, man, God has given us as human beings the power of decision, and we all make decisions. How many times, man? See, sometimes it's a blessing in getting locked up. You can ask a lot of cats I know, man, to tell you. It was a blessing for me, man, because I was just headed the wrong way steady. But he locked me up, set me down, made me miss my family, miss being out here being a free man, made me realize that my family was important, made me, man, really see this girl for what she was. When I get out, man, I'm on the straight and narrow. Well, then when you get out, though, see, you can't be talking about, no, oh, man, I can't find no job. Now I'm going to go and do what I got to do. No, partner. You got to do now what you're supposed to do. See, that don't do what you got to do got you in trouble in the first place. See, everybody, see, the hood got a lot of ignorant rules we done created. I got to do what I got to do. I got to feed my family. Well, only reason you got to do what you got to do is because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. See, if you just went on to school like your mama kept telling you. Oh, man, I was watching 48 Hours yesterday, and a dude named Nesto was on there. And Nesto, Latino dude, said, man, my mother told me quit hanging with these guys. They were going nothing but trouble. I should have listened to her. He doing 30 years right now. You can't blame God. That's why I talk to myself this way, so I don't get stupid and start shifting the blame the wrong way when it's really on me. How many times has God got you out of something and you walk right back into it? Man, why don't you take these blessings God give you and go on about your business? That'd be the best way to do it, don't you think? That's what I think. So I thank God for my wife for reminding me that God got us anyway, that God gonna pull you through anyway, that have you noticed, Steve, we ain't lost a beat. Oh, I know it's hard out here, but really you ain't lost a beat. You still moving forward. You still dressing nice. You still look good when you come into that job. Everybody don't got to know you, that your house is in bad shape and all that. God got you, man. If you just hold your head up, man, quit complaining all the time about what you ain't got. And as in words of my daddy, Slick Harvey, stop talking about what you ain't got and take a good look at what you do got. That's improper grammar, but that always stuck with me, and maybe it'll stick with you. Quit talking about and looking at what you ain't got. Take a good look at what you do got.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, may I have your attention, please? This fight will be dedicated to all those who lost money on the McGregor fight.
Yeah, okay. The show, you mean.
Before we do that, though, and get into that, we want to say that our hearts and prayers go out to all of the people of Houston, even though we're not on the radio in Houston, right, and they can't hear us. Mm-hmm. We love them. And we're pulling for him, we're praying for him, we're doing some things. Kevin Hart has issued a challenge. I accepted the challenge. And he's asking for all his celebrity friends to donate $25,000. I've already shown my wife the Instagram thing. I just got it. So we're going to do that. He asked us to challenge other people. That's not my way of doing it, but I will call the couple that I do know. Mm-hmm. I just don't like basing nobody out. I don't like saying their names, you know, because you really don't know their reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, I know Tyler Perry got it, so we can just go on and stop.
Well, you just said his name.
I'm going to say Tyler.
Tyler out there.
Tyler Perry got it.
Oprah.
Well, I can't say that because me and Oprah, we cool, but I can't put it out there like that, you know. Plus, last time somebody said something about Oprah and Tyler. Yes, I'm working. I'm not going to use that combination.
You ain't putting them two names together, huh?
No, I'm not going to use that combination. Matter of fact, I'm not going to use now one. Matter of fact, I retract that statement.
Yeah.
I just saw Tyler at the fight last night, and me and Tyler ain't got no problem.
But Carla's off today dealing with the flood. She's kind of in an affected area. Tommy's here today, of course.
Yeah. And Tommy went home.
Tommy, yeah.
To take care of business, so Tommy will be talking to us about it.
And even though we're not on in Houston, we got people who listen here.
Yeah, they know somebody. You have family in Houston, everything.
Right on.
All right, if you want to help people affected by Hurricane Harvey, you can visit redcross.org, redcross.org, or you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS, 1-800-RED-CROSS, or text the word Harvey to 90999. Text the word Harvey to 90999 if you want to make a donation. You can make a $10 donation, Steve. It doesn't have to be $25,000 if you don't have that. So if you want to make a $10 donation, text the word Harvey to 90999. This is if you want to help the people that are affected by Hurricane Harvey in Houston.
Set that damn fight last night.
Yeah, Saturday night, night before last.
Saturday night. Your boys up in there representing, man. I visited both dressing rooms.
Both? Okay. Really?
Both, okay, man.
You went to Conor McGregor's dressing room as well?
Yeah, but I mean, Floyd, my dude.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So I walked in there with Floyd, man. Mm-hmm. We were laughing, hollering. Then his boys from Cleveland that run all of his stuff, Al Haymon, who no one ever sees. Me and Haymon was hugging and laughing. Al Haymon used to just be a promoter.
Right.
He promoted my first big musical tour. He put me on tour with the OJs. I headlined the OJs.
Wow.
And I said, man, I can't headline the OJs. He said, you headline the OJs. And all us Cleveland boys, just do like I tell you. Okay. And I'll tell you about it, man, when we come back. We'll talk about the fight when we come back. This is going to be good. Got some great stories. Took Junior with me.
Yeah, we got to find out from Junior's perspective. Yeah.
Little fight talk when we come
back. Bring him back down to earth.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go. Steve, okay, you got to tell us about the fight, more about the fight.
Man,
and then we got to hear Junior's perspective, too.
It was greatness. Uh-huh. I was sitting there. I talked to Floyd's father. Floyd's mom came down there to talk to me.
She's as
cute
as she can be.
I have got to see you, Lloyd. Family feud. Boy, if
what did
you
she say?
Boy, I don't miss. Boy, me and Floyd sits up there. Talking about a hug.
Yeah. Oh.
We sits up there, man. I can't take Steve. It's just a beautiful thing. And so we talked, man. I talked to Tyler for a long time in the VIP.
Oh, man.
And the VIP lounge.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The VIP lounge was
something, huh? A lot of VIPs
it was,
in the VIP lounge.
The money that was in there was not the celebrities.
What?
No, the money mm-hmm. that was in that lounge was not the celebrities.
What do you mean?
Who
was it?
The people in there had that other kind of money.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They make decisions. They was...
Oh.
I went up and hugged the dude that ran Chase and J.P. Morgan. I just hugged him. He didn't know who I was. I just hugged him. Yeah. I just hugged him. He said, Steve, what was that for? Because you don't know what you mean to me. Yes, sir. Just what you mean to me. I know I ain't got the most in there.
Right.
The amount I got in there. I need to hug the person that's holding. I do need a hug.
All right.
Paper, huh? But here we go. Junior.
I want to hear from Junior. Yeah. Come on, Junior.
Come on, Junior.
What was it like?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I have got to work on stop being shocked about everything. I have got to get that fixed first. Because when you go with Uncle Steve, you realize that he is way richer than what you originally thought. Like, you got a number,
uh-huh.
and then he's past that number. It's a whole new number. Man, we go to... Man, I didn't even know there was this place at the MGM where he stay at. Because at one minute I was talking and we was on the strip and I could see the Luxor and I could see Mandalay Bay.
Oh, then, he was at that hotel.
Yeah. Then we pulled around somewhere and all of a sudden it's a whole
Boom.
New world.
Boom.
We outside, but we ain't outside. I can't explain it to you. I see the sun, but we outside though, but we not really outside.
Can't nobody ever see y'all.
Nobody ever seen us.
There's no sign.
Nuh-uh.
It's no nothing. And you have to be buzzed in by a gate in the car.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
And then the gate opens and you pull in. And then after that, you don't see anybody after that.
Wow.
And you just in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's completely outdoors, but it's completely enclosed.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a compound.
It's an atrium. Yeah, it's an atrium.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, but it costs, I don't know what it costs to stay there, Jay, but I know my black ass had no business being back there. I can tell you that much for sure.
Well, what else did you see?
You can't book a room.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go online and get the room. You can't buy the room.
Okay.
You can't.
How do you book it?
You can't tell us how you get in there.
You can't get in. They have to call you.
Oh,
it's
they
an
have
invite.
To call you. Oh.
You have to be invited to stay there.
Wow.
Oh.
Junior,
you were hanging out with the real ballers.
No, the whole weekend, we hanging out with billionaires, and I ain't even know it. I'm talking to them like they just, you know, $60,000 a year. You know. I'm having them conversation with them. Come on, man. Let's go and do this right quick.
Junior,
come on, man.
What did you talk to a billionaire about?
Oh, we talked about, you know, just regular stuff. You want a drink? I want a drink. You want a drink? You ask no billionaire if he want no drink. Dog, you got food on your shirt. You don't slap your food off his shirt.
So, Junior, did you see any bad ladies, man?
Hey, dog. My whole statement. This woman came up to me and started talking to me. I said, excuse me. Could you please stop talking to me? I said, because I'm going to heaven. And I just walked away. Didn't I, Junior? I just walked away from her.
Oh, that's fine.
And
that's
she was fine.
No, that is fine.
I just walked away from her. I said, excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me. No disrespect. Would you please stop talking to me? Because I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Thank you very much. The waitress that kept five times, this waitress came with me. With nothing on, hardly.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Harvey, just please let me do something for you because you've done so much for me.
Yeah, Tom.
No, listen to me. Listen to me. I don't want nothing. I want you to stop talking to me because I am going to heaven.
That was your line.
So this rich dude, he got it. You don't know it. Mm-hmm. He came up to me, he said, I got to try that. He said, because I got to tell you, maybe that can stop me. Because I'm losing my mind, family, and everything. So, Steve, tell me the line again. I said, I'm going to heaven and walk away.
Stop talking to me.
I got to try it. He said, Steve, watch this. I'm going to try it. That girl came up to him and said, can I help you? He said, you sure can.
You got everything.
I said, Jamie, you said you was going to try. Hey, Steve, I tried, man, but I looked at him. And you sure can. He said, no, I can't. It was funny.
How about this, though? Uh-huh. How about Uncle Steve and Tyler Perry in here playing?
What do you mean?
They two grown black men in here playing. Tyler come over. Uh-huh. Tyler said, don't say nothing. Tyler takes his hand and snatches Steve's phone. Man, what the hell? It's about to be a fight.
I didn't know it was him. Snatched my phone. I said, who the hell? Turn around. This Tyler's
solid, too, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Man.
That's a big dude, man.
Uh-huh.
Tommy, what was you going to ask?
I was going to ask you, is it more unknown rich people than it is celebrity.
Oh, hell yeah.
You don't want to be famous.
Dog, the people that make the real money, you don't even know who they are.
No, they don't have.
That's a good thing.
They don't have no. They look like
they ain't blinging and nothing like that.
No, they look like they going grocery store. they look like they got going to grocery store. They shoes ain't got no name on it.
Uh-huh.
They jeans ain't designed.
Well, the reason the shoes don't have no name is because most of them are custom.
Yeah.
I stopped the guy. I said, my man, where you get them shoes? They're custom.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is look at their watch and their shoes. Because they're going to have that on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and it's going to cost some money that you're really not familiar with.
All right, we got to go. We'll talk more about the fight as the morning goes on, of course. But it's Monday, and church complaints are coming up. We'll be back at 44 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Of course, today is Monday, and you know you have a lot of complaints going on. The Reverend is here. And the deacon.
We here.
Yes, we
gracious
are.
Father. Thine art, thine own. Ha. That's preaching now.
That's what that is.
Let's get these church complaints out the way with the irrefutable Deacon Def Jam.
All right, Pastor.
What was that?
I had a delay. Don't worry with it. We've got some issues here, Pastor. Sister Doris Jean Lightfoot delivered her 18th child in the choir stand doing her solo.
What?
We thought she was holding a long note, but she was actually giving birth. She has destroyed two chairs and the carpet in the choir stand. It's up to you if you want to hold her accountable for the situation.
No, we are on a special program with Sister Lightfoot. I have personally registered her with the government. And we get $486 per child.
Yes, you got 18, and so I
you
see
do
what
the math
saying.
On that,
yeah.
Sister Shirley.
Yeah,
486 dollars for the 18 kids. This would be children. Child number 19. And there's a special program, government funding. We receive $8,000, $8,748 to be exact. From
Lord.
Sister Lightfoot. Now, what that means is with this new baby, we'll be receiving $9,234 from the Government Assistance Program for Wayward Children. We keep all 18 of them here at the church.
And we all get a right. special concession. So she can keep on having all the kids she wants.
18.
Yeah, we got $9,234 coming in right now.
So we're not going to worry about the carpet.
We're not
going to
worry about
chill.
That carpet. What we're going to do is call Stanley Steamer. And have them come in here and work with the carpet best they can. I don't know how good they good is getting up after birth. But that ain't none of my business. If it don't work, we're going to put a throw rug down now and keep on preaching. Go ahead, Deacon.
All right, Pastor. Let's see here. Deacon Remus Wilcox, who has a prosthetic leg, is asking for a loan. He has until Friday to pay the balance on the leg. He owes $750. The rental leg company is going to come and get the leg by 12 noon Friday. So it's your call, Pastor, if you want to help him out.
No, we're not going to do that. And I've told Brother Remus Wilcox to keep up on his leg payment. And if he didn't want to do that, Brother Wilford works down at Home Depot, and he said he could make him a leg out of a 2x4.
So a 2x4 leg?
Well, it ain't got to be a big leg. he don't weigh that much. A 2x4 with a shoe on it ought to work pretty good.
All right. Now, Pastor, now, here's something you need to really pay attention to. Sister Daconda Malvo has bounced the last 4 checks that she has written to the church. Now, Brother Cordell Santee, the treasurer, wants to press charges on her. He has called the police. They are coming this morning to get all the information. Now, they're going to be picking her up at her job, the Nappy Roots Beauty Salon. Now,
What is they questioning her for, Deacon?
She wrote 4 bad checks that have bounced, and it has evidently upset Brother Cordell Santee, who was over the treasury, you know, over the money. And he wants to press charges. They're supposed to pick her up at her job today, but you actually make the last call on this.
I don't think they can pick her up for the 4 or bounced checks. That's just not good churching.
Good churching.
Well, we don't need to do that right there because she is in charge of both bake sales. She fries all the chicken down at the church.
Yeah.
And she makes a pound cake that's just unbelievable.
Ooh, I love
a lot of those checks bounce because she's buying ingredients for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And we was a little short with the chicken money 2 weeks in a row, which probably caused her a overdraft. So we're going to leave that alone. And tell that man to quit calling the police on her.
I let Santee know that to call that off. I let him know.
Yeah, let the police know because Big Sam and them eats the chicken. And let Sammy know that that's the chicken that he comes by to get. And lock her up and that chicken's over with. Because Sister Gertrude chicken ain't worth a dang.
Everybody knows that. That Gertrude can't fry
Gertrude
no
sure can't fry no chicken. She fries some chicken last week. I swear to God, I thought it was meatloaf.
Chicken so hard. I thought it was meatloaf.
What the hell? I couldn't believe it. I said, this can't be chicken.
All right, Pastor. I know you may have been concerned yesterday the phone that kept ringing in the sanctuary. Here's what's going on. Sister Alicia Cartwright just got butt implants. The doctor supposedly accidentally laid the silicone implant on his cell phone. It stuck to it, and when he sewed her up, he didn't realize the cell phone is actually in her butt. That's why the phone was ringing all through the service. It's been said that they think his wife is the one that's calling, but her ass is ringing, pal. She's asking for $1,000 to go to another doctor to get the phone removed, but her ass is ringing every 3 minutes.
Well, that ain't going to happen, Deacon, because what we're going to do is just wait on the battery to die, and I'm pretty sure by next Sunday we'll have a nice quiet service. I was wondering, what was that little square on her ass? So, you know, when she walked by, she got a great implant, though. It's absolutely
good.
Incredible. I couldn't figure out what the little square was on the back of her head. But I like a little square on that thing right now and then because you cause look like you set a glass on it.
Hello?
Go ahead.
All right. Just FYI, Sister Merlene Dollarite has written a tell-all book about the JPJJ. It's titled, They Going to Hell on a Roller Coaster.
Oh.
Wait. Start over. What is that? I missed something?
Sister Merlene Dollarite has written a tell-all book about the JPJJ, the Jackpot Joint of Jerusalem. It's titled, They Going to Hell on a Roller Coaster. She supposedly has information on who's sleeping with who and who's stealing money and something about you and Sister Doreen Flanagan.
Well, then you tell Sister Merlene that if that book come out, that the tell-all ain't going to just be in a book. The tell-all going to be on the Steve Harvey Morning Show, because I'm going to tell everybody I slept with her. Now, where we at with that?
All right, we got to go. We got to go. Coming up, our national news.
I slept with her and her mama.
We'll talk
Marilyn
about
Marilyn and Pearline.
We'll be back.
And looking for Geraldine.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, today's top headlines are, of course, the Houston flooding. Just terrible, terrible, terrible. And I know we said this earlier that we are not on in Houston, but a lot of our listeners have family in Houston. We have people from Houston, Junior's from Houston, Carla's from Houston, Tommy's from Houston. So if you watch the news, you saw the images of the devastating flooding in Houston due to Hurricane Harvey. And as you know, of course, we're praying for Carla. She's not here today. Tommy is here. And, of course, Junior's here. Yeah. You all have property. You have friends and family down there. So, again, if you do want to help our neighbors in Houston, please text the word Harvey to 90999-90999, and you can make a $10 donation. Okay? And we'll be talking about it, of course, when Miss Ann comes up in just a few. But first, Junior, one of your clients is here, and they dropped off some delicious food for us. Tell us about it.
Churches, baby.
Got Junior?
Churches. Y'all remember churches? Y'all don't remember churches?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Come on now. Specials in the window when you pull up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Church of Chicken, man, for our family, well, every Sunday. We cut out of church, and the next place we going is churches.
Yeah. Wow.
And we sit around and eat Church's Chicken, and all the family come by. So we was all about the family meal.
Because
you had to have 45 pieces of Church's Chicken. And Church's made it affordable then. You get a whole 3,000 pieces of chicken at Church's for like $6. Y'all remember that? Now we back, baby. Now Church's is back, man. They're celebrating. It's the $5 real big deal. From churches, that's where you get two pieces of chicken now. Now, you got choices. See, the $5 real big deal, all about choices.
Right.
You can either choose the chicken, or you can choose chicken tenders.
So
you get a two-piece, a biscuit, and a pepper.
I got options.
You got options. That's what it's all. It's just choice. It's real
I
big
like
deal.
Their biscuit.
Yeah. It's honey buttermilk biscuits, Shirley. Just say it right. Don't just say biscuits.
I like
it. All our biscuits is
biscuits. They're so good.
But I'm telling you.
Give me a thigh. Give me a thigh, Junior.
No, we got thighs, legs, wings, whatever you want. I'm eating.
I'm a thigh.
I'm eating the thigh right now. Well, I'm good at eating thighs.
All right.
Yeah. Love thighs.
Yes, sir.
The coleslaw is good.
Coleslaw's good. The mac and cheese is good.
Mashed potatoes
with the gravy.
They have good sides.
And these peppers. Now, be careful when you're dealing with these peppers.
Woo!
Don't bite that seed.
Mm-mm.
Ask Jay
careful
about
now.
The peppers.
Yes.
Let's
I'm
be real.
Breathing open mouth now because I have one of them peppers.
You're
but Jay like pepper. He like hot salt.
Man,
beer, you
know? I can't mess with them peppers. And peppers is very hot.
Yeah, peppers are very hot. But, man, I'm telling you, man, this is good. It feels good to have churches back. And, I mean, it is such a staple in our community, Church's Chicken, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank y'all so much, churches.
Good job, man.
Thank you, churches.
I'm trying to bite this pepper without crying.
Well, you been into
like
it, Junior.
So I'm grown. I've been eating churches. I know you
Junior, you just ate a whole pepper.
A whole pepper.
He got caught up.
It's the same color as your shirt.
No, I'm fine.
So, Junior, because it's hot, it's good for sickle cell?
Oh, Fred, how you gonna do it, dog?
I'm just asking.
For
it
real,
ain't cold. You can't
that's how you gonna do it,
dog.
That's how you gonna do it.
It hit your body up, is what I'm saying.
If I ate a whole pepper like you just did, it'd be a real problem. He just bit the whole and just lit nothing but the stem and chewed them.
Jay is over here struggling.
Oh, you know what? He'll pay for that later on.
Yeah, I'm gonna pay for that. Stop in and get you some Church's Chicken today. The $5 real big deal is happening right now. Real choice, real flavor. There it is.
Well,
Church's chick.
That pepper got to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I had
it. Pepper just showed back
hot.
Up.
Your tongue is hot.
Well, I said, ooh, he going to make it say it again. I need some more ale first.
They good, though.
Man. Yeah,
that pepper will be back.
Thank you, churches. Thank you.
Thank you, churches.
I'm going to go get some more churches.
Churches!
Get you some churches today.
Ladies right, and gentlemen, she's here. Miss Ann Tripp.
Thanks, everybody out there. This is Ann Tripp with the news, and there's a lot to tell. First of all, let's start out with Texas. Hurricane Harvey has been downgraded. However, the now tropical storm Harvey remains stalled over the southeast part of the Longhorn State, having already dumped over 20 inches of rain on Houston and now expected to leave as much as 50 inches of floodwaters in the Houston area over at least tomorrow, but probably Thursday. Two deaths are reported. Some 1,500 people have been rescued so far from flooded out buildings and rooftops. Tens of thousands are in shelters, but some of the worst damage appears to be north of Corpus Christi in the town of Rockport. The mayor there, C.J. Wax, is warning people to stay away for now.
Stay out of the area. It is not safe for you or your family. Do not return until we tell you it is safe. There is no food, no utilities, no lights, no water, no telecommunications. Stay where you are and protect yourselves and your families. I had thought about the term biblical, but I'll accept apocalyptic.
That's right. They're saying really shelter in place if you're safe and you're dry. Some 3,000 National Guard troops have been called up. Evacuations continue with the help of the Coast Guard. And President Trump says he intends to visit the area tomorrow. As rumored, the president, by the way, has pardoned former Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who was convicted of discriminatory policing but hadn't even been sentenced yet. An Arizona judge found the 85-year-old Arpaio guilty of criminal contempt for repeatedly violating court orders to end the harsh tactics he was using against Latinos. However, the White House says, quote, Arpaio's 50 years of admirable service to our nation made him a worthy candidate for a pardon, and that's why he got one. Today, the 54th anniversary of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's March on Washington. Today, the Reverend Al Sharpton leading the 1,000-minister march on the Justice Department to say that the King, that the dream is still alive despite being threatened by events in Charlottesville and elsewhere. The Bronner Brothers held their 70th annual International Beauty Show in Atlanta this month, and the famous Black American beauty products family donated $30,000 in wigs and other beauty products to cancer survivors. And it started out like this.
If you're asking would I like to fight Floyd, I mean, who would not like to dance around the ring for $180 million?
I'm not the same fighter I was 10 years ago. I'm not the same fighter I was 5 years ago. I'm not the same fighter I was 2 years ago. But I got enough to beat you.
And he did. 20 minutes after the hour, stay tuned to Eugene the Butterfly, Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, introduce Jay. And Jay, you introduce the butterfly. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jay.
He had one of the greatest fight parties in the world. Y'all put your hands together for Eugene!
Good morning, everyone. Stephen, Tommy, Shirley, Carl.
Oh, Trying to have a good spirit about it, huh?
No, I do not have a good spirit. My entire apartment has just been just totally destroyed. But let me finish
by
speaking.
Four people?
I have 30 people.
That's four people. And we're praying for Carla. She's off.
Hey, man. Hey,
we're praying for Carla.
Come on, say something to me so I can say something back.
Steven, everything is just, my whole apartment is destroyed. I had a fight party, and then a damn fight broke out at the doggone fight party.
That's your friend?
Felix and Sebastian got into a fight, and it was just a mess. It was a mess.
No, butterfly.
What are they fighting about? What happened? What was the fight about?
Well, one of them had put money on Mayweather. Felix put money on Mayweather. Sebastian put money on Connor. And Felix didn't. One of them didn't want to pay the other one. And then I say, look, y'all going to have to settle it like we normally settle it. And then, we play rock, paper, scissors, curling iron. That's how we do it.
Y'all play what?
Rocks, paper, scissors, curling iron.
Yeah, that's what when we was growing up, that's how we do. We don't play just rock, paper, scissors. We play rock, paper, scissors, curling iron. What's funny? That's funny. So, and when we fight, we have rules. Brett. You cannot have fist fight. So we slap. We fight with open hands.
What?
And it was bad. And they flipped over my couch and my coffee table, and things are just, all my stuff is destroyed.
Is windmilling? They windmill?
They do windmills, but you have to have an open hand. You cannot, If it's a close hit, we'll jump in and stop it because you're not supposed to do that. But anyway, my couch. I need a new couch. I need two new bar stools, and then my coffee table. And then the fight fell into the doggone bathroom. My whole toilet is cracked. Do you know anything about plumbing, Steven?
The whole toilet. Can
I get you to come over and fix? Can I get you to come over and put a new toilet in?
The hell I look
can you come
like
over and help? Stephen, I'm going through some things, and I just need some help. You know,
why don't you get the people that broke your damn toilet to help fix your toilet?
I'm gonna make them pay. Is it possible to sleep on your couch for a couple of days?
Yeah.
Are you gonna let them sleep over there, Unc?
Hell no.
Oh, I ain't
sleeping in my house. You don't even know where I live.
Steve, I just need some help. As a boss, I need you to really, you know.
We have to go. Sorry, Butterfly.
Yep. We thought you had problems at your house. That fight is not affecting us at all. Thanks for calling, though, man. Another worthless ass segment.
Coming up next, J. Anthony Brown is here to murder another hit. We'll be back at 34 after the hour.
Oh, boy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, in case you missed it, Jay is here to murder yet another hit. Jay, what do you have for
us
this morning?
It's the Kango song. We played it Friday, and we played it again Monday. Yo, check it out on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
The song goes out to George Wallace, my road dog Van, Samuel L. Jackson. LL Cool J, Missy Elliott, and last but not least, LeBron James. Take me back to another place in time when I had a headline. Times will always change, but you keep me the same. Like mine, people say out of date. I really need to dress, not so young but more my age. They're all wrong, 'cause I look cool in my Kango. Oh, Kango. I can't let a nice hat, and George, yours is way too small. Too small, dude. It's way too damn small. Come on, man. Nobody white is gonna tell you this.
That song is pretty much dedicated. Samuel Jackson still wears one.
Oh, I saw his movie. Yeah. Oh. It's really good.
Oh, the,
which one?
You would like
Bodyguard.
It.
You would love it,
Steve. Hitman's Bodyguard with Samuel L. Jackson. A
lot of cussing in that movie, man.
Oh, yeah. You would like
man.
It.
You would love it, yeah.
Uh-huh. It's exciting.
It's a lot of cussing in it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of fighting. You would love that part about it.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Jackson kicks butt in that
movie.
Yeah,
he really does. Yeah. It was really good.
He got some moves. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Yeah. So there it is, Kango.
But,
dedicated to George Wallace. Who wears one who has been, who needs a larger size of Kango?
Kango.
Yeah, he's wearing one. The one he wears is way too small. Way too small. It looks like a yarmulke on top of his head.
Yarmulke.
And he just refused to get a new one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
You're
know.
His friend.
He's got to see that it's small. I mean, it's cutting off the circulation to his brain. And I know you feel that.
So. Yeah, you guys know it.
Yeah, he's got to know. I don't know how he got it on his head, but it's way too small.
Well,
yeah.
You're his friend, Jay. You should tell
him. Yeah, it's stretched out. It's just. It's very
well. He doesn't use his friendship. His friendship is for joke purposes.
Yes.
I'd be damned if he gonna help him fix a problem that can be a joke.
I'll tell you right now, man. You can't talk about my mama for that many years.
No.
I had to whoop Jay.
That's something, isn't it?
Oh, you mean me and George talking about each other, mama?
Yeah, for special. That many years.
Oh, that's mandatory. I mean, it goes with friendship. Yeah. We know each other, mama. I know his mama. Yeah. Shy lady.
Damn, Jay.
Yeah, all right, when she's out, you know.
Yeah.
Well, she get locked up a lot for fist fights in clubs and stuff like that. But she good people. I like her.
Cannot. Yeah.
Man. Hey, man, she can take a punch, too. Right. Get the best of it.
Oh, man. Yeah. She can take a punch?
To the gut, too. I mean, straight up. You don't flinch or nothing. Mom, like, that don't hurt.
That, like Della Reese in Curtis in Harlem Nights.
In Harlem Nights, right?
She's like, that's all you got.
I'm so uncomfortable with this conversation.
No, don't.
Uncomfortable at all.
Don't feel uncomfortable. What's uncomfortable is George with that little ass Kangol on his head. That's uncomfortable. Yeah.
All right. We'll be back. The nephew's here to murder another prank.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. Time for the nephew and his prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
Drug test.
Yo,
time to
it?
Take a drug test.
And then after the prank, we'll get serious and talk to Tommy about how...
But right now, though, drug test.
Hurricane Harvey has affected him. But right now, though...
Drug test.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach a Faye, please.
This is she.
Hello, this is Officer Rogers from the probation department.
Yes, sir.
Listen, now, you have been... on probation for a little over a year now. Am I right, Faye?
Yes, sir. You are correct.
Now, you're supposed to be serving 2 years probation?
Two.
All right. Now, I'm giving you a call, actually. I'm bringing you a bit of bad news, and I hate to do this, but you came in, Faye, a couple weeks ago and did a drug test. Am I right?
Uh-huh. I sure did. I did.
All right. Now, Faye, I hate to bring you some bad news, but the actual drug test that you took has come back positive.
Oh, you're a lie. That's a lie.
Wait a minute. Now, you came in a couple weeks ago. You took a drug test. This drug test has actually come in positive. Now, what I want to say to you is this. You're going to have to actually...
No, sir. My test wasn't positive. You got the wrong person.
Hold on a second. I either need you to come in to me, or I want to save the embarrassment of having to send a car out to pick you up. Now,
I don't give a damn what embarrassment you're talking about, sir. I gave you some and my was good.
Ma'am, right now
you
I
say
got
what you a. Want to say.
You have a positive drug test. You have you come up positive, ma'am. Now you're gonna
if
have to
use
actually.
If they use your, if they use mine.
We used the one that you brought us. Now
must have been the wrong one. Couldn't have been.
Ma'am,
I'm sorry, sir, but I wouldn't have gave you no bad urine. It just wasn't me.
Ma'am, I don't want
to
have
go back to jail. I don't even know why you would call me with this nonsense. I got children. I'm trying to do right. I don't know why you would call me. I wouldn't have gave you no bad. That's not me. You said a lie.
Ma'am,
you
listen. You actually have to come in and do another 3 months now.
Oh, sir, y'all can come pick me up. I can for you right now. I can in your hand if you want me to.
Ma'am, your urine has come back positive of drugs. Now, I don't know any other way to explain it to you. You've been actually evidently using drugs again.
Sir, I'm trying to tell you, I don't use no drugs. I've been clean for a year and some months now. You got the wrong. That's not my. Now,
how do you
telling you that?
How do you know it's not yours, ma'am? It's got your name on the lid, everything. You have come back positive.
Well, evidently, you put your name on it because that ain't my.
Had I.
My would have came back good. You can't call me and tell me I gave you some bad. Call me and tell me that. That's a negative, sir. That's a double negative.
It's not a double negative. It's a double positive. You've actually come back positive. Faye is written here on the actual cup.
Maybe you have more than one Faye.
No. No, we don't have more than one Faye. You're the only Faye. I've actually double-checked that myself. You need to either come in or we're going to have to come out and haul you behind in here.
Well, I need you to come right now because I got the right now. Come right now. Come on.
Are you trying to tell me that if I come and pick you up and take your urine now, your urine is going to come up negative? Is that what you're saying?
I'm telling you that. You're double positive with that. My urine is going to come up negative.
Ma'am, I don't want to come out, haul you in front of your family, but you're actually going to be coming in, and you're going to do 3 months. That's all I can tell you.
You're gonna... confident, sir. You got the wrong say, Alan, or you got the wrong. It's one of the two. Might be both. You got the wrong. You got the wrong say.
I'm letting you.
No positive. I ain't had no positive. I'm trying to tell you, I got kids. I mean, I ain't had no positive.
Listen, ma'am, I'm telling you one more time. You either want to come in or want me to come and get you. Which one?
Let me tell you what I want you to do. I want you to find out who the you have. Because that ain't my. Don't call me no and tell me nothing about you got some that is not good. I gave you some good. How many times I got to for y'all? Y'all keep picking up people, falsely accusing folks. Y'all had me say some time, miss my children. Now I'm hot. I've been giving you good and you still want to with me. I'm tired. I ain't gave you no bad. Don't call me no more with no like that. And where is my probation officer? You say your name is what?
My name is Officer Rogers.
Sir, I don't know Officer Rogers. Like I said, you might be the reason why the came back positive. You might be the reason. I need to speak with Mr. That's my probation officer. Officer now I have clean at all times. Mr. Rogers, you shouldn't be calling me.
I should be calling you because evidently I'm gonna have to come down and haul your behind in myself.
Well, you can bring your on. And when you come, you bring Mr. with you. He'll let you know I don't have no positive. You can come to my job.
You know what? There's one more thing that I need to.
Bring your on. Come on right now. Come on.
I got one more thing I need to say to you. Are you listening to me?
What is it, sir?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your sister, Allen.
I know one thing. Y'all play too much. Y'all play too much.
Yeah,
that
whooping.
I was coming to get Mr. Rogers. She gonna get that whooping.
Say
well,
you
no,
all right?
No positive. Scared the hell out of me. Had me thinking I was doing drugs and didn't know about it. Somebody just jumped up my nose. I'm gonna need y'all not to play with people like that.
Okay, Faye, you all right?
Hell no, I'm nervous as hell.
It's your sister. She put me up to it, baby.
Well, when you ever see her, you see what she looked like. I'm gonna beat the hell out of her.
I got one more question for you, baby. You got to tell me this. What is the baddest? I'm talking about the baddest radio show in the land.
The Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Huh?
Oh, man.
Nah, man.
Drug test.
Faye wasn't playing, though. Let me tell you, Faye is not for it.
Mm-mm. You have a date, Tommy? What's happening?
Yeah, I got a date. I am in Tampa, Florida, Saturday night. That's right, Tampa, Florida, Saturday night at the USF Sun Dome. Frankie Beverly featuring Maze, Kelly Price, Tank, and hosted by yours truly, Nephew Tommy. That's Saturday night, this Saturday. That's September the 2nd, USF Sun Dome in Tampa, Florida. Tickets are going very, very well. Few more if you want to come hang out with us this beautiful Labor Day weekend in Tampa, Florida. That's me, that's Tank, that's Kelly Price, Frankie Beverly, and Maze. I'll be wearing white.
See?
I messed it up at the end.
Yeah, you have to be able to say it.
It's also Maze featuring Frankie Beverly.
Same thing.
No, that's not the same thing.
But tell me, seriously, though, you're in Houston.
Yep.
So tell us about your experience down there with Hurricane Harvey. It's actually no longer a hurricane.
It's a thunderstorm now, but it was a hurricane when it hit, but now it's a thunderstorm. It's been bad. This is probably the most brutal one I think I've ever seen. I've been through a lot of hurricanes. This
Hurricane
one right
Alicia
here.
Hurricane Alicia was a bad man.
Hurricane Alicia was no
You were
joke.
There, Junior?
Yeah. 1988. Yeah.
But can I tell you, I take my hat off to these rescue workers, man.
Oh, yeah. The first responders.
They are doing the doggone thing, man. They trying to get these people out of harm's way, especially the elderly people that are stranded, especially elderly people living in a retirement home.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting these people out of there. These people been in, these people are coming fast. Wow. The police officers are going door to door. If you live in an area that's really, really bad, they're coming to your house, when you have ample amount of time and saying, hey, you need to leave now.
Yeah. Well, again.
Wife and kids are good.
That's good. That's really good to hear.
Side piece? Check on your side piece, Tommy.
I know. I know. Damn, I'm sorry.
We have
maybe
to go.
Maybe your side piece is dry.
We have to go. When we come back, the strawberry letter.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, up next, we have a crazy strawberry letter coming for you. But first, of course, on a serious note here, Steve, you and CNN contributor and former South Carolina state rep Bakari Sellers recently denounced the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. And Bakari called on you, Steve, to do your part. Well, coming up at 41 after the hour, Bakari Sellers will be our special guest, and you guys will have a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He is. He's been on your talk show, and he'll come on here to talk about this. All right, so I know there's some highlights about the fight you left off.
Y'all ain't telling us everything about the fight. You and Junior went down there, and don't come back with no good stories or nothing.
Hey, you know what they say, man.
What happens in Vegas?
Now, that was before cell phones.
Man, you actually got a chance to talk to Floyd, though, you said, right?
Oh, yeah, I went to his dressing room right after they came and got me. I said, man, come on in and see the champ, man. Uh-huh. And when I walked in, he's surrounded by reporters. As soon as he saw me, he stood up.
Did he?
He said, that's my man right there. That's my man right there. He said, I hug you, man, but I'm sweating. Man, let's hug anyway.
Aw.
We hugged. It was a great moment, man, because it was 50 for him.
Uh-huh.
This was his first time coming out without no music and stuff. You know, he normally
had that's what everybody was saying.
A rapper or something with him.
Oh, he didn't have all that.
Yeah.
He didn't have all that, you know.
No Justin Bieber, because they, you know.
He was focused, though.
I got to give him one of them suits he had on with all the zippers on.
Oh, that Hublot thing.
You know, I don't think I could wear that anyway, man.
That's how you lose your wife.
If I had to go to the restroom, Tommy, I'd be in there for 7 days, man.
But you know, man, it was really,
fly.
Really.
Mm-hmm. It was fly.
It was a good event. You know, we enjoyed ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Watched the fight, went and got me something to eat, went on to my room, man, because it was crowded.
I have to say, you had an excellent seat at the
Oh, my God. Hey, he had
every angle we could see Steve Harvey.
Yeah,
every
dog,
angle.
I had a seat, man.
Yeah.
But I ain't want nothing to go wrong with him, Shirley. I just want him to sit there and watch the fight. Then he stood up, and I text him, sit your ass down. We don't need no more highlights around here.
It gets me if people see you on television, and then they text us asking, are you at the fight? I'm like, damn it, don't you see him at the fight?
At the party where I was, everybody was, Shirley, there goes Steve. There goes, I see him.
Yeah.
That jacket was butter, though.
Yeah,
that
it was.
Jacket was
it was actually a suit, too.
Oh, it was a suit.
Okay. Wasn't a regular suit, was it? Okay. It wasn't regular suit. What was it?
Oh,
special fabric.
What
was that? Macy's? What was that?
They had that at Macy's.
Was that Ross Pepperlet?
You know he's gonna
and
get
Macy's
mad.
Macy's has good suits, I might add.
Definitely.
Was that KNG?
They have good suits.
They might
you know
add.
What? You know what? I got to ask you this.
Steve Harvey right
That's
there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I did Luther for 3 years, and your boy was the promoter. Do you
Al
know?
Heyman.
Al Heyman. Do you know, a Saturday night was the first time I actually saw Al Heyman. I had never known what he looked like, because on the tour, I had never seen that man.
Oh, yeah, he don't come out much.
No, he will not let you.
Nah, man.
Yeah. No.
But dog, is his front man Steve, the guy that be in the ring all the time, the one named Sam?
Oh, Sam? Everybody
you know,
knows Sam.
Sam cool cat, man. Do you
it's
know
who's
Sam
front man?
Al Heyman.
Mr. Al Heyman. No?
What are you shaking your head? Well, this is radio.
Well, you know, there's certain things you're not supposed to talk about.
Yeah, I know.
Well, he works for Al. I knew that. I'm just maybe this is
so you, okay. But you gonna keep on.
Did you just hear what he said?
Certain things you ain't supposed to talk about, fool.
No, Al Heyman does not want spotlight. Kay.
No.
No. Cut all that.
Yeah. You don't know nothing.
You know
I've been
saying?
To one fight and know that.
Junior was up there balling out of control, man.
I really did. I had a conversation with Al Heyman. Man,
what'd
I talked to
you?
Everybody.
What'd you say?
Hey, man, I appreciate the tickets. Thank you for the fight. I love you, man. You the greatest.
You with some billionaires, boy.
Boy, Junior was in there just trying. I had to go over there and check on him every time.
Hey, let me tell you something, though.
Man, you can just get this food. Damn, man. Quit asking me that. Now, if I get paid, anybody going to say that?
Dog, you in here.
Yeah, I'm in here.
Okay, okay, what about the drinks? All that's free.
Free?
Hey, man, look at
all right, here we go.
Yeah, we'll talk
all
more.
Types of McCallum, all types of everything. Ooh.
Everything.
Years, I'm talking about vintage.
Y'all 30-year scotch, huh? Y'all clown.
Oh, they was in there.
Man, it wasn't nothing.
All right. All right, nephew. Come on,
all right,
let's,
Shirley, here
let's
we go. Buckle up! Strawberry letter 23. What you got, Shirley?
This is a sad one right here. Subject, my Prince Charming turned out to be a devil with horns. That is the subject.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice. Again, subjects. My Prince Charming turned out to be a devil with horns. I'm a 39-year-old single mother of two girls, 9 and 14. I'm educated, beautiful, and successful, and have a good job. I met my Prince Charming online, went on a few dates. In my life, I've had mishaps when it comes to men. This guy was handsome, well-educated, and he is every woman's dream. I was so excited to finally meet somebody like him after meeting a couple of freeloaders. He was my dream come true. My excitement about my Prince Charming ended when I landed in his bed of hell.
Watch out, Dad.
My first concern was his unwillingness to use protection, and I insisted that since we didn't know each other that long, that was the safest thing to do. I asked him about his status, and he said he was clean. He had no diseases, and he was going to show me his status. I was concerned when I realized that he had secretly removed the protection during the encounter, and he told me that he does not like using them. After this day, I called and told him that I needed to see his HIV status. And he said, yeah, I will send it to you. As I was waiting impatiently, I noticed that he was a bit different. I called him and told him strongly but politely that I needed to know his status. That was the last day I ever heard from him. He stopped calling me. He never answered my calls nor returned them. I called him at work, and he told me not to bother him anymore. I must leave him alone. 6 months later, I tested positive.
Wow.
For HIV. Wow. What do I do? Do I sue him? Do I let him do this to other women? Should I sit and accept it as my fate? I am devastated. I look at my girls and cry because I have betrayed them. I put myself in a compromising situation. What do I tell them? Steve, I know I failed to follow your rule of thumb, but I still need your advice. Thanks, devastated and betrayed. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, make sure you join me for Strawberry Letter Live, the after show on Facebook. It'll be live this Thursday at 1:30 p.m. 1:30 p.m. We'll talk about that day's letter. But come on, Steve, let's hear part two of your response to today's Strawberry Letter. I know we don't want to deal with this because it's so deep, but we got to get back to this letter.
That's a heavy letter here,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, this is a heavy one.
Okay, here's the letter. My Prince Charming turned out to be a devil with horns. I'm a 39-year-old single mother, two girls, 9 and 14. I'm educated, beautiful, and successful, and have a good job. I met my Prince Charming online, went on a few dates. In my life, I've had mishaps when it comes to men. This guy was handsome, well-educated, and he's every woman's dream. I was so excited to finally meet somebody like him. After meeting a couple of freeloaders, he was my dream come true. My excitement about my Prince Charming ended when I landed in his bed of hell. My first concern was his unwillingness to use protection, and I insisted that since we don't know each other that long, that was the safest thing to do. I asked him about his status, and he said he was clean. He has no diseases, and he was going to show me his status. I was concerned when I realized that he had secretly removed the protection during the encounter, and he told me that he does not like using them. After this day, I called him and told him I needed to see his HIV status, and he said, yeah, I'll send it to you. As I was waiting impatiently, I noticed that he was a bit different. I called him and told him strongly but politely that I needed to know his status. That was the last day I ever heard from him. He stopped calling me. He never answered my calls nor returned them. I called him at work, and he told me not to bother him anymore. I must leave him alone. 6 months later, I tested positive for HIV.
Whew.
What do I do? Do I sue him? Do I let him do this to other women? Should I sit and accept it as my fate? I am devastated. I look at my girls and cry because I have betrayed them. I put myself in a compromising situation. What do I tell them? Steve, I know I failed to follow your rule of thumb, but still I need your advice. Thanks, devastated and betrayed.
I'm devastated too. I really am for her. You know, I mean, all I'm going to do, because she knows all the answers, I'm just going to give her some stuff that could possibly help her in terms of websites that she can go to and, you know, get some help and some more education. Go to AIDS.gov. You know, they can give you access to U.S. government HIV and AIDS information about prevention. You know, you can pass that along to your girl, to your children. AIDS education, testing, treatment, and care. A lot of people are living with AIDS and living with HIV. And there's also AIDSHealth.org. It's an AIDS healthcare foundation. AIDSHealth.org, AIDS.gov. This is so sad. And about suing, you know, it depends on what state you're in.
Well, here's what I want to say to the lady is this. HIV and AIDS is no longer the death sentence that it used to be. They have treatment for you. They have medicines for you. There are people who are living long lives who are HIV. And, you know, there's a gratefulness in that. You tested positive HIV. If you take care of yourself from this point on, you can live a long life. I know people personally, friends of mine who are HIV, who are living very productive lives. And I mean very productive lives. One of them is very famous and he played basketball. I rest my case.
Yeah.
So at least you found out early. Mm-hmm. That's the good part. You have two beautiful daughters. You have to do your part now to stay here for them. So let's get about the business now of what you have to do. There is a fight involved, but because you are educated, intelligent, bright, you have fight in you. Go get in this fight. Don't give up.
So, yeah, that answers the question that she asked, should I sit and accept it as my fate?
No. It's right. Listen, it's not your fate. It's a challenge now. Mm-hmm. You can accept this as a challenge or you can accept it as your fate. It's not your fate. Fate sounds so final.
Yeah, it does.
So, no. You are HIV positive. Okay, all right. Let's get busy. Let's get busy. Let's get with it. Let's do what the others have done who have fought this and is surviving and living. There is no cure for AIDS, but there is treatment now that enables you to, and I hope I'm saying this wrong, and I don't mean any offense to anybody because I don't want to say this wrong. I think that if you're just HIV and it's not turned into AIDS yet, that there is a lot of treatment for that, that you can stave off the HIV from turning into AIDS. Once again, I hope I did not say anything to offend anybody. I'm just trying to recall in memory what I've heard my friends say. So I hope I'm not offending anybody because I know this is a delicate subject. And in our community, it's devastating.
So high among African Americans.
You are smart
women.
Enough, ma'am, where you went and got tested. Mm-hmm. You were concerned enough. You got a move put on you with old boy up in there.
And the online thing.
Yeah. Well, online, I ain't really, you know what I'm saying? You can meet somebody online, but even when you meet a person online, you still got to go through the 1-2-3s of how to get to know a person, whether you meet them online or you meet them at church.
But, is she supposed to turn him in, though? What is she supposed to do?
Yeah. You got to turn him in, and you got to protect other women. Yeah, you have to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you got to put him straight on notice and blast. Yeah. You can't let it, because if this is the game he playing, that's ugly.
All right, Steve, you know we got to go. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. Switching gears now. Steve, let's get back to the fight. You were telling us now about Junior.
You know, it's what I enjoyed most of all was watching Junior discover and get exposed and to watch his face and questions.
So that was your first time ever, Junior?
Well, yeah, my first time ever. Had a fight.
You know, like where I stay, they pick like, you up at the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But what they pick you up in?
What?
You know, I thought we were going to get on a little van together. Yeah. We boys weekend. You know, don't forget a van. Bentley pulled right up to the plane.
Wow.
I said, no, they did not.
Oh, it pulled up to the plane.
No,
excuse me.
No, no, they did not. No, they picking you up in a Bentley. He said, yeah.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I told you we were going to have a special guest. He's here. He is a noted politician. He's an attorney in South Carolina. Yeah. He is currently one of my favorite political correspondents for CNN. Mm-hmm. I invited him on the show today so we could discuss some of the comments that he made last week on CNN, which involved me. This is going to be good. He's a good brother. He really is. And I'm very, very happy with the work that he does. Mm-hmm. And I'm a fan of his also. So he's on the show. Please welcome to the show, everybody, Mr. Bakari Sellers.
Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to be on. So thank you.
Good. First of all, man, I want to say welcome to the show. And I want to say this to you in front of everybody. I am a fan of yours.
Mm-hmm. We all are.
Yeah, man. And we have a decent relationship between one another. I don't want anybody to think that we are two brothers that don't have the wherewithal and the common sense to sit down and discuss. Mm-hmm. Even brothers can disagree.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
And so, you know, I just wanted to get some stuff out to light and just talk openly about how we feel about certain things, because I've always respected his opinion on CNN. And so he's here today, and I just want to say welcome to you.
Thank you. And if I may, just briefly, I want to say that I have that same utmost respect for you and all the work that you've done. And I can honestly say, as someone who is traveling that same road, that road of justice and searching for justice and truth and all of that, that I look up to you. And so it's an honor and a privilege to be on with you.
Thank you.
And a pleasure as well.
Yeah. So let's just start at the beginning, because I was just sitting at my house and my kids called and said, Dad, they just talked about you on CNN. I said, that's good. No, Dad. I said, okay, hold on. What you mean, no, Dad? And so then they told me what was said. So let's just go from the beginning, Bakari. The discussion you all were having on CNN was pertaining to what?
So we were having a discussion about the president giving his speech. You know, it was a speech in Phoenix, Arizona, and he was doing what he normally does, which is coddle white supremacy. It was going in and out of synchronization. It was making sense and not making sense. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, my comments were very plain and very simple, that anybody who has a platform, anybody who has a message or a voice that can speak out and speak up needs to utilize it. I said that what we need to do is, I said, I want to know where the voices are who gave Donald Trump respectability. We need to make sure that the people like Steve Harvey, the people like Jim Brown, are speaking up and speaking out. And I stand by those words, and I think that it's important that anybody who has a platform use that platform to speak out and speak up, especially right now with someone who is trying to roll back as many of the progresses as we've made over the past 8 years, over the past 50 years, as Donald Trump has. And so my question was a simple one. You know, is Steve Harvey, is Jim Brown going to speak out? If so, I hope they do. I hope they use that platform loudly.
Yeah. Now, first, Bakari, let me start with the comment of those of us who gave him a voice of respectability, because that's where I want to start this whole thing. Because my initial visit to see Trump at the time was because I had received a call from the Obama transition team, not President Obama, but President Obama's transition team. Now, I have a relationship with President Obama. I shunned away from it, and they said, oh, man, we want you to know how important this is to bridge the gap. So they got the Trump transition team on the phone, and they put us on the phone together, and they said, would you come? So it was off and on and off and on. And so then the week of the 13th, on January the 13th, they said, be at Trump Towers at 2:30. Madeline Wisenhunt called me from Trump's office. And so I was hesitant. My wife and I talked about it. She had deep concerns about it. But I said, okay, baby, what you want me to do? I got the sitting president and the incoming president, and both seem to want to make this happen, so I should go. So that's what I was doing. I was really felt badly, Bakari, because I didn't know, you know, I didn't vote for him, you know, and I worked really hard not to get his ass in.
Let me just explain to you. Yeah. I want you to understand my disappointment, because, you know, this isn't, Donald Trump is not somebody new who we just met on the scene. It's the same Donald Trump who was sued by the Department of Justice for violating individual civil rights. It's the same Donald Trump who was sued by dealers in Atlantic City for discriminatory practices. It's the same Donald Trump who, you know, dealt with the Central Park Five after they were found and exonerated and found to be not guilty and persecuted these young black brothers. And so, you know, for me, the disappointment, the heartache is not necessarily, you know, taking the phone call per se, but it is lending someone, and you know, Maya Angelou said it best, when individuals show you who they are, we have to trust that and believe that. And so, you know, Donald Trump is who we thought he was. There's no question about it. And to see his practices, not just when he was elected, but even today, my point is still the same. My point is that we need all hands on deck, because, Steve, the way I feel about you is I look at you the same way that I look at a James Brown, the same way I look at a Harry Belafonte, the same way I look at a Dick Gregory. I mean, I look at you with the utmost respect on the platform, that not only all the things that you have done, but the things that you will do. Mm-hmm. And so we need to make sure that we are all hands on deck with someone like Donald Trump, who is peeling back and rolling back everything that we believe in.
Yeah. Let me say this. I had heard all of what you said, to be honest, because we had kind of discussed it on the show, the discriminatory lawsuit, you know. But what had happened was this guy goes from the campaign trail to the White House. So now this person with these problems, who also got elected after, you know, talking about a man's wife that's running, that also said he could grab a woman's pee and it's okay. Now, the dude that was on the bus with him, Billy Bush, he get fired. The other dude that was on the bus who said it is the president. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sitting up here going, wow, we are in some jacked up time.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I told you we were going to have a special guest. He's here, Mr. Bakari Sellers.
Welcome. What's up, Bakari?
So when this guy gets in the office, he's not just a guy who's made these negative comments and lawsuits and all this. He's now the incoming president. So the hard part for me, Bakari, was how does the sitting president and the incoming president request a meeting, and how do I say, no, I ain't meeting with you? That was the dilemma that I had, man. And looking back on it in hindsight, I was talking to Ed Gordon one time. He said, Steve, what you should have did was told us you were going to meet him and what you were going to talk about. And that's beautiful in hindsight, but guess what? I didn't really know what I was going to talk to him about, because I didn't know what they wanted.
Right.
So I just went to the meeting. Go ahead.
No, I get that, and I understand that completely. But now we're at a point where we have someone who is emboldened and given a bigger platform. And I know when you came out the towers, I remember what you said, and I appreciate that. We're going to give a voice, and we're going to talk about housing in inner city Chicago and Detroit. I remember that. But he's emboldened white supremacists, the neo-Nazis, and the Klan more than he's emboldened people who look like me and you.
You're absolutely correct.
So for me, I mean, my only point is that, like, I want every single person, like, I don't have a lot of, you know, astronomical goals in my life. Of course, I want to be able to take care of my family and all of this and all of that. But for me, I just want to be able to live and die seeking justice and truth and peace and those type of things.
Right.
And I need to make sure that everybody who's on the same playing field I am, who has a platform, is using that voice. And that was my only point.
Right.
That you and Jim Brown and so many others, I mean, we cannot afford to sit back and let Donald Trump continue to do the things he's been doing, although it's only been 7 months.
Right. Now, okay, let me say this, Bakari, because I agree with everything you're saying wholeheartedly. And that's the reason I wanted you and I to talk openly, because we are brothers who are on the same mission. We just got two routes we're taking to get there, and we got two modes that we can use to get there. knowing what I know now about this man, but having seen it come into action with the power of the presidency, would I have gone up that end knowing that? If I would have knew the backlash that my family would have suffered behind it, I wouldn't have went. I don't give a damn what President Obama and the transition team said. I just wouldn't have done it to my family. I really didn't expect the severity of the backlash, because the backlash that came to me, it didn't come to me from white folks. The backlash that came to me came from the very people that I serve and have loved and tried to be an example for all these years. So it was kind of hurtful for me when they came. I was a coon, a sellout, and all like this. So when I got to the meeting, not knowing what it was about, when he posed a question to me, he said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "No, man, let me help you." And God just got on me and said, "Let me work with Ben Carson. Uh-huh. Well, when we came off the elevator, here was the other thing. He wasn't supposed to come down on the elevator. Mm-hmm. I was going to go down and go and address the media, and I asked him before I left, I said, "Mr. Trump, let me ask you a question. I'm going to tell them what we talked about. Is that okay?" He said, "Sure, absolutely, 100%. And I told him I was going to talk about this. He said, "Fine." I get on the elevator. He said, "Hold on, Steve, I'm going down with you." Okay, we get off the elevator. He walked straight up to the microphone, and the first word out his mouth was, "We going to repeal and replace Obamacare." Now, I'm standing here going, "Dude, we ain't said a damn thing like that upstairs." Right. So now I'm standing there looking like
the birth of the coon.
Man, that like I done just went up here and talking about, "Yeah, we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare." And I was caught off guard. When I got to the truck and got in the truck and was taking a deep breath going, "Man, let me see what I can talk to Ben Carson about, how I can propose this. I propose the vision centers." Man, my phone lit up. "Man, Steve, you on social media, man. Mm-hmm. They eating you alive." And I went, "Wow." And so, you know,
but
go ahead.
Can I just, let yes, me just sir. Say this. For me, the President of the United States asked you to come and meet with him. And I understand that. Like, it's a hard ask to say no to. But my only point is now we know exactly who he is.
Yeah.
And so now, there is not a day that goes by where we all should not be in unison rebuking the fact that he is emboldening those people who want to take back the rights that we worked so hard for.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, listen.
Hey, Picard, let me ask you a question, man.
Sure.
Okay, knowing that he was this guy before, but aren't you just a little bit surprised though, at the level to which it is?
No. Not at all. Listen. You know what's crazy? You know what's the most amazing thing about this? You know, all the white people that are so surprised by Charlottesville, I mean, those people are bankers. Those people are teacher's assistants. Those people are in our everyday communities. I'm not surprised by that one bit.
Right.
Now it has a face, and they just have tiki torches and a polo shirt and Bugle Boy pants, khakis on. I mean, listen, this is nothing new. I'm not surprised by it. I lost one of my good friends in Charleston, South Carolina, to white supremacy run amok on the 10th degree in the Mother Emanuel shooting. So, I mean, I understand that this is very, very real. And I'm not surprised that Donald Trump is the white supremacist in chief. I'm not surprised at all. But what I am going to do is make sure that every breath that I have and every breath that I take, we make sure that we're bringing those of us that look like me and you and most of the listeners on this show have an opportunity to say that, you know, we're going to be all right.
Yeah, you know, man, I follow you. I got to tell you, I am a little bit surprised. I am, man, because I just did not get the levity of it. Because, you know, man, as we all try to hold him accountable, as we try to hold him to task, I was thinking, okay, what can I do to hold him to task? Because right now, his wife can't do it. His daughter can't do it. Spicer couldn't do it. Mooch couldn't do it. Comey tried to do it, got his ass fired. You know, he over there, he.
Where's Mueller? We need Mueller. That's what we need.
Dog, he is letting them have it up there. He done got rid of Banyan.
Yeah.
The right, alt-right, this dude right here.
All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I told you we were going to have a special guest. He's here, Mr. Bakari Sellers. Hey, man, let me ask you this. I don't know how we can take this guy to task, the 70-year-old rich dude that's been doing what he want to do, who had no political, he ain't never been the alderman. And now he the president of the United States. And this dude, what?
He's just pardoned Sheriff Arpaio.
He just pardoned
This is my point exactly, man. That's why we can't be quiet about nothing. Mm-hmm. Every single opportunity we get, we have to call it out. We have to call it for what it is. I mean, we cannot be quiet right now. I mean, listen, Martin Luther King said it best, and I'm not a big person who quotes King at every chance I get, but he said at the end of time, we won't remember the words of our enemies, but we'll remember the silence of our friends.
Right.
I mean, we have to make sure that we're speaking up and using every single platform we have to speak out about somebody who is a bigot who is president of the United States.
Right.
That's what we have to do.
And I appreciate your efforts in that area. You know, on this show, we have two responsibilities. You know, we were created as an entertainment show. Mm-hmm. But we also bear the banner of, you know, man, we provide information. And we do it in a way, man, and, you know, man, where we could keep the light on it. But for 4 hours, you know, we got to do what we do, which is to entertain here. So people get a break from it because CNN is dedicated to it. Lord have mercy.
Thank God.
We're doing our best.
Thank
man,
God.
Doing our best. Boy, you, Don Lemon. Don Lemon is not. This is his calling.
Yes.
Don Lemon has been.
Don is about tired of y'all, though. I just want you to know, Don is about tired of everybody right now.
Yeah. Don Lemon, man. He is so done.
He's on one. He is.
He's so done. Mm-hmm. And who's the guy? Who's the white guy with the white hair?
He's not with us anymore. Jeffrey Lord. We parted ways.
What happened to him? Because I didn't care what Trump did. It was okay. But even for a minute, he started going like, wow. You know, hey, man, one time he couldn't explain. That's when I knew Donald Trump.
You know, the most amazing part about this whole thing is that we've only been 7 months in.
7 months.
It's only been seven months.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? Bacardi, what do you all think is going to happen here? Can this last for 4 years?
Yeah, I believe it can last for 4 years. I'm preparing myself for it to last for 4 years. I think that the moral consciousness of our country is waking up. I mean, white supremacy is nothing new. I think that we have to brace ourselves and deal with it. I think that it's going to get, you know, a little bit worse before it gets better. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we're going to be okay. But I do believe that Donald Trump is what this country asked for. We haven't dealt with what we were built upon, which is race, which is racism, which is slavery. And so now we're here, and we're reconciling that with, you know, Donald Trump.
Hey, man, let me ask you one more question, too, because here's the deal. 3 million votes more for Hillary Clinton in the popular vote. What are we going to do about this electoral? Because, you know, if Georgia with fewer people can get the same count as Ohio with more people and so forth and so on down the line, how do we win this thing, man? Because I can't imagine this guy for 8 years.
Well, we don't have to get on our horse if we want him to not be president for 8 years.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Mr. Bacardi Sellers.
I am very, very pleased just to have the opportunity to have this discussion. But I do want you to know that I have a lot of friends who question the Electoral College. And I said, if the Electoral College was that bad, they would not have elected a black man from Hawaii whose mom was from Kansas, whose dad was from Kenya.
I got you.
We just need to work. We have to work within the system that we have. But at the end of the day, I think that what it's going to take is all of us to use our voice and people of color to stand up and be like, you know, we're not going to tolerate this. And we're going to have to continue to fight. I mean, that's all we have, Steve.
Yeah.
We are a people who've been fighting for a very long time just to be free.
Right.
And we're going to continue that fight.
And, you know, with this right here, with Charlottesville, the darkness of Charlottesville had a flicker of light, a light in it, though, because the majority of the people that were out there were not African-Americans. And it's a doggone shame, man, that this girl, Heather, had to lose her life. But here this white supremacist plows through it and kills this damn girl.
And Heather Heyer's family asked an amazing question. They asked, why did it take for a white woman to die for us to realize that white supremacy was real?
Amen.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you've lived a longer life than I have, Stephen. You know. You know how difficult it is just to not just break through the glass ceiling, but to be able to just crack it a little bit. I mean, you've lost friends to individuals who were shot in the streets. I mean, we've dealt with this before.
Right.
But now people are paying attention to it because they understand what it looks like. And so, I mean, to get back, to do full circle, all the way back to my comments on CNN, it was out of the utmost love and respect that we're going to be all in this together and we're going to figure this thing out. And at the end of the day, that they're going to be somebody who's proud of us because we will not let up on this fight for truth and justice. We won't. We simply won't.
Well, you know, man, I invited you on the show to say just that because what I wanted to stop before it got... See, if you had said this on a blog, we wouldn't even be talking. But it got said on CNN. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted was to show other people that we can sit down and have an intelligent discussion and try to understand one another. Because there's enough separatism in our side of the playground. We don't need no more. Oh, man, you ought to tell Bakari this. Man, you and Bakari.
Exactly.
No, man. Me and this brother all right.
Yeah.
We just had a different, maybe we had a misunderstanding of what we said. So let's just talk it out like men. And just, I invited you on the show. I reached out to him.
And he's been
heard.
On your TV show before as well.
Yeah, man. And he's
twice,
he's a good
not
dude.
Once, but twice.
Yeah.
And a great dude. And I love when you're on that show for CNN Fighting the Fight. I just wanted everybody to hear you and I have an open dialogue discussion because before they get started, because I stay on the internet. My ass don't need to be on there no more.
Well, Bakari, we want to just say thank you for taking the time. Thank you for what you do, first of all,
yes,
on
we
CNN.
Love your work,
we
man.
love you.
Man,
we talked about you even before this came about. We just love you that much, how brilliant you are and the things you say and all of that. So thank you for taking the time. You're welcome.
Hey, and Bakari, just in closing, man, you say my name out your mouth again, I'm going to slap all taste out your mouth. I just thought we'd have a hood moment.
It's just a hood.
Yeah, I can't fight nobody my daddy's age. Okay.
Well, that's good. Hey, man, thank you for respecting that. Hey, Bakari, be good, man. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. All right,
All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, what a great interview, Steve. I'm glad Bakari Sellers took the time to call in and straighten some things out.
Well, you know, I think
it's
important, man, to see us as brothers who are really working for the same cause. In case we have a misunderstanding, let's just talk.
Talk it out. Right?
Let's just talk it out. Mm-hmm. You know, I get sick of people just going online with your ignorant comment, and you don't even really know what you're talking about.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. That's your world. You want to try to make yourself relevant. Go ahead. Do your thing. But
that happens a lot, though, Steve, when brothers don't get together and actually talk. It happens a lot. And they go for years and years not speaking to each other because they think one has something against the other one.
Mm-hmm. So right, but exactly. But see, I didn't want that to happen between me and him because I like the dude so much. And obviously he has great admiration and respect for me. So let's you and I talk about what you said, what I meant, and why I did it. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll find out that we might be on the same page.
And I think that's what happened. I definitely think that's what went down.
Show wish Kyrie and LeBron would have sat down and talked. Show wish that would have happened.
Hey, did you guys hear, according to a report from ESPN.com, that the Cavaliers are still evaluating Isaiah Thomas? You guys heard about that, right?
Yeah.
His injured hip, he had that hip injury following Friday's physical. And they're weighing options with regard to the completion of the deal that would send Kyrie Irving to the Boston Celtics. It might not be a done deal as of yet. And speaking of this deal, LeBron James was firing some serious shots at NBA fans on Twitter. specifically the ones that burn a player's jersey when they leave a team, something LeBron, of course, is very familiar with after he left Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Yeah. LeBron defended Isaiah Thomas and Gordon Hayward. The burning of the jersey thing is getting ridiculous now, LeBron said.
Wait a minute, burning Isaiah's jersey?
Yeah, I guess because, he was traded. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
But he didn't trade himself.
He didn't ask to be traded.
Exactly.
But this is the same guy whose sister passed.
Yeah.
And he plays anyway.
Yeah.
And y'all turn around and y'all trade the man. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, do you understand that you've traded a person now that's going to have an attitude every time he see you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, Kyrie, on the other hand, going to Boston, but he asked to be traded.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Well, LeBron was saying the burning of the jersey thing is getting ridiculous now. The man was traded, just like you just said, Steve. But what do you not understand? And he played in a game after his sister's tragic death.
Man.
Gordon Hayward paid his dues as well and decided to do what's best for him and his family. He put in the work, got better, became an all-star, etc. If these guys weren't good, you guys would be the first to say, get them out of here. And that is so true. That's so true.
But
LeBron said, man, beat it. When we decide to do what's best for us, it's cowardly. They call them traitors. But when it's on the other side, it's business, huh? Oh, okay. Man, do what you feel is best for your profession. Love, family, happiness, and continue to hashtag strive for greatness.
Right.
Hashtag salute.
But you know what bothers me? This is from people who can't play.
At all.
That's what gets me, dog.
Yeah.
This is from people who can't play.
Those armchair quarterbacks and things. Oh,
the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena who's face is marred with dust, blood, sweat, and tears, not to those cold and timid souls in the stands who know neither victory nor defeat.
Mm-hmm. I ain't never heard of it.
Wow.
What did Gladiator say? Are you not entertained?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But
I really feel bad for Isaiah Thomas. I do. Because, you know, you sacrificed a lot for Boston in those playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they get done like that. But then they get mad when players won't take less money.
Come on.
Again, like Tommy
come on,
said,
do
these
it for the team.
Can't play.
Well, the
they
team traded
even
me.
Play.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. I'm glad LeBron spoke out though, and came to their defense. I'm glad he did, and hopefully they'll get it worked out. And especially they'll watch his hip injury. And by the time yeah, that's pretty sad. Yeah. So
ooh, I gotta check on my side piece. Man, Jaden put that in.
Now, why would you?
I'm paying.
Hey, man.
I can't help.
Steve, help.
Hey,
get
Tommy.
Your, get your
Tommy.
Nephew,
yes, sir.
You're going to let this fool wreck your home. Talking about check on your damn side.
You put your side pieces in a dry area, man.
Wow. Jay.
Yes.
No.
I'm just
no.
I'm just here to help.
That makes sense, Jay.
Oh, to get a new Belinda, Shirley. I ain't gonna lie to you.
What'd you say?
That makes sense, Jay. Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
No, Shirley,
that doesn't make sense.
You don't want to lose everything. The car already gone.
He just got married.
Are y'all for real?
How long did you
wait
give
minute,
him Steve
this fool
in this marriage?
Said, hey, man, the car already gone. You got to get some of the dry air. All y'all.
Belinda. Now, I tell you,
Tommy, you have a son. Set an example. And not this kind of example.
I'm telling you something. If your side piece ain't dry, you're just going to take it out on your son and be evil to him.
What you doing waking up?
Hey, man, are y'all for real?
Yes, they are. Listening to Jay.
Tommy, damn, Jay, he's stupid. But this fool that's married.
They just got married.
Sitting up in there going along with this ignorant mess.
We're just playing, huh?
And you ain't playing.
I can't believe, Jay, you're never getting married again.
Your side piece.
You're never getting married again, Jay.
It's a new gospel play coming out this summer. Oh, what? Keep your side piece dry.
Well, everyone in Houston, please be safe and keep dry.
We love y'all.
Yeah.
And our prayers, man.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, have yourself a great weekend.
It's Monday.
We wish you back in Vegas.
For
all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.